Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
Mountain climbers scale the cliffs that turn back the average hiker. How is that? They do it by training and practice. Then in the field of industry, we see researchers defy what some say is impossible. It has been stated that 100 years or so ago, people in the patent office said, "Close up, all the inventions have been made." Oh, how wrong they were. For example, the invention of the transistor in 1948 by Bell Telephone Laboratories revolutionized communication. But that has been left in the dust in these 50 years. We have much more complex systems. They are, however, based on that invention somewhat. What was seen as impossible has become a reality. Well, I remember Mrs. Yoder and I did some seminars to the Holy Land for a number of years, and early on in 1960 or 1970, when I wanted to telephone the office, I had to wait 30 minutes. I placed my telephone call with the operator at the hotel, and she said, "I'll call you." And I waited 30 minutes to get that call. In 1994, when we were in Israel, I telephoned the AAA Traveler's Check office. I thought I was talking to Tel Aviv. It came on so quickly. Instead, I was talking to New York. Can you believe it? Right from the hotel in Israel, without any delay, it seemed. Communication is frightening in some respects. If such achievements are possible in the physical sciences, what about the areas of philosophy and metaphysics? Some progress has been made there, would you say? Of course, our minds are not programmed, although they operate by certain laws. In other words, in the physical sciences, you can program and come out where you expect to come out. But in the field of the mind, it's different. For example, no statement can be true and false at the same time. That's a philosophical law. I want to spend some time with you in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 19, to talk about how our minds are not programmed. In our text, the Apostle Paul resolved the impossible by raising certain false positions. And here are the words of Paul, the words of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I said the Apostle Paul resolved the impossible by raising certain false positions. The first position is the false premise. The false premise was there is no resurrection. That was based on the ordinary. Nobody had seen anyone else arise from the dead. In fact, nobody saw Jesus rise from the dead, for that matter. So since nobody saw him, some said, "There is no resurrection of the dead." Well, I remember. A number of years ago, when we lived in Harrisonburg, Virginia, a certain man died. He was quite a spiritual leader. His followers were absolutely convinced that he would rise from the dead. They had the date all set. Now they buried him in the cemetery, like other people, in a concrete vault. But when the day approached, would you believe it? People actually flocked to the cemetery to see this man rise from the dead. But you know what? He did not. And the result was devastating for some people because they had been so sure he would rise from the dead. He didn't. so they could argue, as they did in Paul's day. No one else arose from the dead. How could Jesus arise from the dead? But he did. That's true. He did. There's one factor in here that isn't spoken of by Paul. It is true no one else arose from the dead like he did, but then no one else lived like he did either. Just keep that in mind. Look deeply into the record of his life, and you will see that there is a particular reason why he arose from the dead and why other people did not. Now the apostle goes on then to say that if there is no resurrection, if the basic premise is no resurrection, then there is no risen Christ. And if there be no risen Christ, then we have empty preaching and empty faith, useless, no content. We are just, as it were, beating the air and wasting our breath. Into this mix, we've got to see that belief is foundational. Today, it is not possible visually to see Jesus rise from the dead. As I said before, nobody saw him rise from the dead anyway. The angel came down and rolled the stone away, and they could see the empty tomb, but nobody saw him rise from the dead. They saw him after he had risen from the dead. So, my friend, it is a matter of believing. A matter of believing. That is the whole secret. But I'll say a little more about that later. So the first position is false premise. The false premise, which he resolves. The second position is the false promise. He said, if there's no resurrection, then what we have been preaching is false. We are false witnesses to these things. No message, if no resurrection. Why go to all the ends? Why travel across the Roman Empire? Why hazard your life on the high seas among robbers? There's no message if there's no resurrection. It is a delusion. A delusion is a disordered state of mind. If there's no resurrection, then there can be no risen Christ, as I was saying, and as Paul was saying. I want to point out to you that the whole matter rests upon the faith a person has, and faith is a decision of the will. Don't tell me you can't believe. You can't believe because your mind won't let you believe. If you get the consent of your mind, then you can believe. So no resurrection, no pardon. You're yet in your sins if there's no resurrection. Think of it. All the people of all the world through all the generations who have believed in Jesus have simply believed a delusion. I said a delusion is a disordered state of mind. And so there's the false promise, Paul said. I have been a false witness. If there is no resurrection, then hang it up. No forgiveness, no forgiveness. What a tragedy. Paul is resolving the impossible. The second position is the false promise, rectified by faith in Jesus Christ. The third position is the false piety, no hope. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, most to be pitied. And believers are dead and gone, no hope. Yes, I remember some years ago I was engaged in evangelistic services in a rural community. We went to visit in a home. When we got there, the man was out repairing his chicken coop on a Sunday afternoon. He apologized a bit. But as we were talking, he looked across the way where several of his horses were in the pasture lot, and he said, "When I die, I will die like one of those horses." And his daughter, who was standing nearby, said, "Oh, Dad!" Yes, that's the point. Is there any hope beyond life? Now, he was right if there's no resurrection. The man was right when he said, "I'll die like a horse." If there's a resurrection, then there's another chapter to the whole story. We are more than a better organized animal walking on 2 feet. We have not come up from the animal race, we've come down from the hand of God. And we can escape our ordinary train of thought. I was talking to you a little while ago about having been in Israel, you know. When I was talking about that, I saw it. Yes, I was there, trying to make the telephone call. We can soar to mental heights unknown by the higher order of animals. We have powers of the mind that we need to control and exercise. Our hope transcends all earthly ideas. I want to emphasize that word, transcend. It's a wonderful word because it goes beyond, above, and far away from the ordinary, all earthly ideas. The Apostle John in his epistle said it this way, "We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Speaking of Jesus, of course. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, most to be pitied. If no resurrection, that is the situation. So the third position is the false piety, bound by earth ties. So the Apostle Paul resolves the impossible and requires the correction of these false positions. The false premise, no resurrection. The false promise, no message. The false piety, no hope. My friend, to experience the true premise and the true promise and the true piety, believe. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Yes, amen. Join me to pray. Mighty God, we thank thee again for thy mercy, grace, and love to give us so much in so few words by the Apostle Paul. Now, as we reflect upon this text and my comments, help us to know there is hope. We are not the most miserable because he, Jesus, arose from the dead, and we have every confidence that we too shall rise. So bless us and guide us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God's Word gives us clear teaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Dr. Yoder suggested in his message, since we cannot go back and view the resurrection actually taking place, we must accept it by faith. Just because we have not seen something with our own eyes does not make it any less real. I have accepted the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a fact, and I tell you, my friend, it has revolutionized my life. So I urge you to ponder the positions that Dr. Yoder presented from this text. It would be helpful to you, my friend, to have a copy of this message. But I won't know where to send it unless you write and ask for a copy. So ask for today's message, and when I mail it to you, I'll include all the other messages from this series in 1 Corinthians. They're all bound in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. And all you need to do to receive your copy is to write and ask for it. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, and the postal code is 15533. Or, if you have access to the internet, you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your request by the email link that's provided on the website. Now, you may have questions about what you heard today. If you do, write to us. We'd be glad for the opportunity to answer your questions using God's Word as the basis for our answers. Once again, our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. And our web address, www.heraldsofhope.org. And remember, the title of the book is Glory in the Lord. I hope you'll join me again next week as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.